Okay, good morning, everyone. I think I got some fans over there. I don't know. Hey! Sounds good. Okay, guys, let's get into God's Word. It's an exciting morning this morning. It's been great listening to Victoria just sharing with us in the meeting. And we need to see God really move amongst us, don't we? And over these last few weeks, Andrew and the elders have put together a series called Exploring Creative Tensions Within Our Church. And they've been very interesting ones. And my one this morning has to do with local and global, obviously missions. And I suppose that's, I don't know where they picked me on that one, but I suppose it's because it's on my heart. A few things I really like to talk about, and this is one of them. So if I really get excited, you can pull me down a bit, all right? Okay. But really, we're thinking about God's heart this morning. We're after his heart, and we want to know what he's got for us. So let's take a portion of scripture in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 9. Now, I think it's important to read this one. It will help us. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 9, it says, on one occasion, while Jesus was eating with his disciples, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or date the Father has set for his own authority, by his own authority. But, what a lovely word. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight. Oh. Awesome. Okay, let's go into this. When this series was birthed, Andrew wrote some introductory notes for where we're actually sharing on the series. And this is what he wrote about the theme that we are thinking of this morning. And I must admit, this thrilled my soul. Look, if you sit there, I'm going to kick your foot, right? So can I have Matt there on there? Can you swap over? Yeah, okay. So listen, this is what...
I think he's joking, he's actually...
sorry, but this... That foot really kicked me, okay? This is what was written. I don't know if it was Andrew that wrote it or whoever wrote it, but it says this. I've quoted Andrew. I did ask him for permission, so he said, okay. Jesus called his disciples to invest both in their local context and in God's great mission to all nations of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We believe, and he's talking about us, the church, Grace Church, that every local church should be working out how to play its part in global mission. Yes, now, I'm sorry, I'll start bouncing. I've got to stop bouncing right now, right? But this is where we're heading for as Grace Church. It's not just a local scene of being involved where we are right now, but God is actually stirring us up as a church. And I can say us, because it's written here, okay? He's stirring us up to think a little bit further than just our own little town, our own little place in where we live and whatever. And he's asking us to lift up our eyes to see what he wants to do through us. And this obviously creates a tension. And it's quite an important tension. It's a reality. And there's two areas of tension. The first is the tension of trying to fulfill the great commandment, love one another, while also trying to fulfill this great commission, go into all the world. Okay? Now, our tendency is, because we're a local church, is to put emphasis on sound doctrine. Amen, brother. I'm 100% plus on that one. Christian fellowship or unity, that's vital if we really want to see God move amongst us. We've got to be unanimous in our desire to see God move through us. It's not enough for one or two to go forward. He needs us all to get involved in this great commission. And then there's the local evangelistic outreach, which every church will push and try to encourage its members to be involved in. And it's great. That's obviously, that's what we should really be involved in. But there's more. You see, this is our little church here. I could call it Grace, really. And you see these little arrows. For me, I like diagrams. That you probably won't understand half of them, but I do, so that's the most important thing, okay? So it's just three things here. There's sound doctrine in this one arrow. There's the arrow of Christian fellowship and of a local evangelistic outreach, which probably normally doesn't go any further than 5 miles down the road, if that. But we have to see something bigger. This massive dark spot, I didn't know whether I should put black, but anyway, black spot. And what does that represent? It represents a world lost without Jesus Christ. And I must admit, when I did this diagram, I thought to myself, I'm going to have that little church there, outside here, with all arrows pointing to the lost world. But really, the diagram shows us very simply that we are in this world, yet not part of it. We're in this world because we're commissioned by God to serve it, to help it come to know Jesus. That's what we are here for, folks. It's not just about us and me and my little church and my little time of fellowship. And I come on a Sunday morning and I have a great time. We sing some tremendous songs. And it's not just about that. It's not just about, I'm going to be dangerous here. It's not just about community group. And we're all involved in community groups, aren't we? Hello? No. Okay, we're not probably then, but we should be, okay? But it's more than that. There's a world out there, and we must learn to see things through God's eyes. We've got to learn to see what God sees. And what does he see? He sees a world that's lost. That's why Jesus came. That's why he came. So as we think on this morning, very few churches invest their energy or efforts towards loving those outside of their own little church. Oh, we say we'll love one another and we'll have fellowship with a few little churches in the town and, that's lovely. We're all Christians together. Oh, but there's a world out there that doesn't know Jesus. And it's not a point of bringing people into our turf in the church. It's a point of we have to be involved in taking Jesus out to others. So, but this creates tension. This creates difficulty when we look at this. Let's go a little bit further. Tension is experienced in trying to strike the right balance between the local church's responsibility and also fulfilling this role that Jesus has given to every one of us. Now, I'm saying that because I don't find an exception in the scripture to Jesus' words where he sends us out to go and preach the gospel to all nations. I don't see any of things saying Jesus saying, you don't all have to go, okay? It's not local versus global outreach. We're not in a battle here, do we or don't we? But local church and global outreach. It's nice to get ticks, isn't it? I like getting ticks. Anyway. This is what we're about as Grace Church. We're beginning to turn our eyes, and I think it's been going on a long time. I really do. It's beginning to turn our eyes to the fact that there's a world out there that needs Jesus. And you started to do this as Grace Church before I came. Well, just at the time we came, you sent out the valiant, was it 20 or 22 people that left us? And I think most of the people were crying when they left. And they would toddle off to a great distance to Falmouth. And there, God used them to start another church. You got the wrong foot again. Can you get that? Start another church. So what are we beginning to see as a fellowship here? There's more than just Truro. There's Falmouth. But there's more than Falmouth. There's a lot more. So come on, let's go with this a little bit more. The great task that we've got is, Jesus says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We're called to be witnesses to share what we know, what we've seen, what we've heard. And this is what it's all about. Now, I've gone circle mad today, okay? So this is the circle, and it's representing what Jesus is saying here. First of all, there's Jerusalem, which was right at the center of Jesus' activities, right there and then where he was. And it represents to us our home, or the center from where we're going out from. Then, of course, we've got Judea, which is the home country. And we all should be involved in reaching out into our scene here in Britain. I want to talk about that a little bit later, but we've all got to be really involved in that. It's not just Truro, and I'm going to say this, and I don't know whether you're really going to invite me again, but it's not just Cornwall and putting lights on. Oops. Sorry about that, Brother Andrew. You will forgive me, won't you? It's more, you see, and that's what it's all about. It's not just local. It's not just Judea and our home country and our home county. It's further afield. For we come to Samaria. Oh, well, you can't believe this one. I think when Jesus said this, if they'd had socks on their feet, they would have blown them off. Okay? Why do I say that? Because they were enemies. The Samaritans and the Jews, they just didn't get on together. There was a lot of animosity. There was a lot of, well, just things that went on that shouldn't have gone, probably. And there were different cultures, different ways of looking at things. And Jesus says to them this, I want you to go amongst your enemies. I want you to go into different cultures. And I want you to share about me. And all this, these three areas here are within the local vicinity, if you like, within the same geographical area. But then Jesus, not only does he blow his mind on Samaria, but he says this, to the ends of the earth. I don't think they really understood that at that time. And I wondered if we really understand that. You see, what God is asking them to do is just to think a little bit more than where they are right now, witnessing on a global scene. First of all, then, in our home center, we have to live as Christians where we are. You can't expect to go further afield and share the gospel if you can't live it out where you are. And really, the reality is this, the most difficult place to live the gospel out is at home. Okay? And Jesus says, okay, this is the crux of the matter. Prove that you love me, prove that you know me, and then I've got something for you. He doesn't really say it that way, but he actually comes out with, okay, I want you to see what I can do in your home. Now, I think that's a word for us as a church. We normally just think of us, but we have families. And I'm sure we pray for our families that don't know Jesus. But let's really make that a point of prayer. This is something that's on God's heart. He wants those who are in our families and that we know to come to know him. And then you have this Judea concept of just going further afield. Let's be willing to reach out with God, isn't it? But you see, I've said that you've got Samaria, this mind-boggling command of Jesus to work in another culture, to see what God can do outside of our own little box. And then further afield, we got to the ends of the earth. God's got something great for us. Oops. Can I say that again? Can you say an amen? God's got something great for us?
Amen.
I like that hand raised there, bro. Yeah, good one, that one. Right? Let's run with this. It's God's desire, as we know, that everyone should love him. And John 3:16 shows that one very simply. And I came across this poem. It is so simple. And I thought, well, I'm not going to share this with these guys. They know all this. But we used to get this in Sunday school. And this is quoted by a guy called Dr. William Barclay. He's dead now. But he says this, and it really sums up what we're talking about this morning. He has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no voice but our voice to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to lead men to his side. That's awesome, isn't it? I'm going to leave that on there for a minute. Just look at it. Don't look at me, whatever you do, right? That'll frighten you. But look at this, man. He's got no other hands. And we have to be willing, right before we go anywhere further in what we're thinking about this morning, is to say to Jesus, Jesus, here's my hands. Use them. They're for you. He has no other feet. Now, some have big feet. Some have little feet. And I won't talk about smelly feet. But anyway, he has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. You see, Jesus, it isn't very often that Jesus gives a big revelation or a vision to someone so they can come to him. He's doing that quite a bit in some different Muslim countries. But really, today, the norm is that God uses men. That's awesome. That's awesome. The fact is that he wants us, that means it's mind-boggling, okay? He's got no voice but our voice to tell men how he died. We are responsible, portavoces, to be carriers of the message of Jesus. No one else is going to do it. If they don't know him, how can they do it? We know him, so we have to share him. He's got no help but our help to lead men to his side. And that, okay, Lord, here I am. Here's my hands. Here's my feet. Here's my voice. I'm here for you, Lord. Can you say that to Jesus this morning? Really? You can have a big fanfare right now. We don't have that. I'm not asking the band to come up, all right? But really, our Christian witness, Christ sends each one of us that know him to be his witnesses. This witness must start at home. It must go out throughout our own land. It must be given even to those who we regard as our enemies. There's no excuse. We all have to be involved in this tremendous challenge that God has given us. Okay? So as we see this, you've got my little diagram again. There we are. You can't get lost. You're in a world that's lost without Jesus. This is what we're up to. So just to go a little bit further. When you see that, in one sense, it's pretty depressing. Who are we? We're a little church. You're only 10 years old. Oh, little baby. Oh, I was going to nod. You little baby. No. I better be careful. I better be careful tonight. God, Lord, help us to see this. God is determined to fill the earth with his glory. It isn't with you a glory. It isn't with what you are doing, right? It's for him. Can we see that this world is for God? After all, he created it. Satan tried to rob him of it. Jesus came to save it. And Jesus has got a purpose for this world, for us in it. The prophet Isaiah declared, "The Lord will lay bare his holy arm, in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation, the glory, the wonder, the magnificence, the power of God." Oh, get involved in this, eh? Let's get involved. The prophet Habakkuk declared, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Now, I'm not going to go into the theology of this one, right? But I just accept in this as it actually says, God is going to manifest his glory and he wants you and me to be portavoces. What's that one? Carriers. People who take his glory with them. Oh, that, can you get that? I'm sorry, mate. You shouldn't be there, really. Can you get that, man? You and I are called to take God's presence, his glory with us. You and I are called to take God's power. Oh, not our power, his power, his authority. He's called us so that we can do his work. No, sorry, I'm not going to kick you. Oh, come on. I'm sorry, I'm trying to hold myself down. I should have put some chains on or something. But listen, you see, we're not just called out just to go, we've got to preach the gospel, we've got to talk about Jesus. No, there's something magnificent about all this. God is going to be glorified in a glorious, magnificent way as we share him with others. Oh, what a hope. Get me going. Get me going. What a hope. There's a purpose in what we're doing. We're not here just because, oh, well, we just, it's a good time, guys. Oh, it's great to see one another. Wonderful. God's got a purpose in us being together so that he can send some from us out to other places. I don't hear an amen on that, but anyway. You see, and it's Jesus has the same vision. It's carried on from the Old Testament. It doesn't stop and start. It doesn't stop at the end of Malachi. But this vision, this heart of God is being poured out, and it was poured out through Jesus, and he wants to pour his heart out of Jesus through us. That's what we are saved for. That's why we are here this morning. It isn't just that we can just, oh, glory to God, I receive. No, Lord, help me give. Help me give my hands to serve you. Help my feet to walk in your ways to glorify you. Lord, help me serve others. And let me speak about you words of grace and of truth. Oh, come on, Jesus. You can put your hand up and come to Jesus if you like. I don't care. But wow, let's go into the world. Let's see. It's not local versus global. It's local and global. It's part of us. It's part of our DNA as Christians. There's the global aspect of it. There's a world out there. And God's got us for that world. I've got to watch the time, guys. I covered my watch. Oh, wow. Now, there's four reasons. I got so excited, Dave, the thing has fallen off here. Right? Four reasons for this tension between local churches. And we fall into them so easily. The first one is this. Mistaken presumption, called or uncalled. We have something that's crippled the church right through the ages. We have an idea that it's only a few are called to be missionaries, or only a few that are the super elite apostles to share the word of God. The Bible says, Acts 1 verse 8 says, all of us are called to share the gospel globally in one way or another. It's not just that I'm not called or called. It's the fact of each one of us doing God's will in our lives, for our lives, so that we can glorify him. So as we see this, there's a mistaken presumption, called or uncalled. How can I amplify that a bit? Oh, I got a lot of stuff on this one. But we so often see ourselves in such an inferior way. You know, God couldn't call me. Who am I for that kind of job? Look, God isn't looking for big men. You can see that right now, can't you? God isn't looking for super-duper men. Well, I haven't found any yet, but what God is looking for is our hearts. Jesus did not call only a few of his followers to preach the gospel, to be witnesses to the end of the earth. He called all of his followers. In one way or another, we must be involved in this great commission. You might say to me, but I'm not called. And I throw out a question, how do you know you're not called? Have you asked God? Has God told you you were not called? This is falling off, guys. How can somebody stick? Dave, come on, my son-in-law here, he's a big boy. He can fix this up. Sorry. How do we know if we're called or not? We seek God. It's pretty clean in there, isn't it? Yeah. Sorry. All right. Okay. I mustn't jump so much. Right. Okay. Our attitude must be, not that I'm not, but to be ready. I just want to be ready for what you want, God. I've said this before because this when I really saw this, right, it plastered me on the floor, to be honest with you. It's to be able to say to God, I want what's on your heart for me. Remember, I've said this before. And really, that's the secret of walking with God, is walking with his heart in our lives, doing his will for us. You may never actually go into work in another culture. That's not the point this morning. The point is that we see that there's a globe, there's a world out there that needs Jesus. And in one way or another, I should be involved in that. Whether it's praying or helping to give or supporting or just encouraging, whatever it may be, let's start turning our eyes further afield. Okay? So as we go into that, there's a mistaken perspective. Comfort versus the cross. You know, we present the gospel so often. I'm not saying you're hearing grace to it, so I'll clarify that one. Okay. But it's so easy to present the gospel saying, come to Jesus and be happy. Come on, get all your problems solved. And our God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. And amen. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, but you see, that's just presenting the kind of gospel that's pretty me-centered. I come to Jesus because I want me to be helped. But you see, the gospel we preach, there's a cross involved in it. There's sacrifice. There's a giving up of oneself to serve God. And we'll never get anywhere unless we are willing to sacrifice what we've got, who we are, to serve him. This is what it's about, being a Christian. It's not just, how can I say, I'm willing to risk all to gain all for God. I don't hear many amens this morning, okay? But are we willing to risk all? Yes. Come on, let's have you. Say it again, say it again. Yes. Ah, glory to God. You're the witness, Lord. Okay. Okay. If we're willing to risk all, we're going to say to God, not what I want you a heart for me. Okay? I know it's not a very nice message, this one, you know. You've got to be willing to die so that you can serve God. You've got to be willing to be sacrificed so you can serve God. But that's the gospel. Actually, that's the good news. Because it's not of us, it's of God. So then we come to this third one, a third reason, mistaken priorities. Sorry, couldn't get that one out. Local versus global. And this is really what I wanted to try and hit a bit this morning. What's the thinking behind this false idea? God has called us first of all to preach the gospel in our church and to be good witnesses in our church and to love one another and to have sound doctrine. Amen, 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 amen. Okay, I'm not going to argue against that. But then, you see, the tendency is to think, well, we got to get bigger and bigger to have more, to see God's glory more amongst us. And we tend to lose this aspect of the global vision because our thinking becomes, if we are successful, whatever that word may mean, we can go then to other places. And the tendency for many churches, I'm going to use this expression, I hope I don't offend anybody, I'm not thinking of anyone in particular, okay, but we tend to try to grow fat. Now, I know the Bible says the Lord loves his people to be fat and flourishing, okay, I'm not arguing against that, but what I'm saying is this, we tend to be so centered and we're waiting for some kind of special moment when we get a special revelation that we can leave what we're doing and go somewhere else. No, it's not that way. You see, Jesus says this, God does not put an emphasis on the sequences on which these things should happen. He doesn't say, first of all, go to Jerusalem. And then you must go to Judea. And then once you've evangelized Jerusalem and Judea, then you can go to Samaria. And once you've done evangelized Samaria fully, then you can go to the world. It's not like that. It's all simultaneous. It really, really is. This is mind-boggling. We tend to want to be comfortable. We tend to want to be happy where we are and enjoying ourselves and saying, oh God, this is for your glory. The church is 500 strong. The church is 1,000 strong. The church, oh, glory to God. Amen. But there's a world out there that needs Jesus. And what are we doing stuck here when we can send and help one another to go forward in God's purpose for us as a church? I'm sorry, I do get emotional on this one. There's so many brothers and sisters that I just look at them and I see, oh Lord, these are men and women that have got so much potential in you. And what do I see? Oh, Pete, I got 6 kids and I'm expecting another one. I can't go on the mission field, you know. Or, man, I got to finish my career and I want to got a good job. I can't give all that up. Look, you put God first and God does the rest. Okay? I better go on. I got to finish. Yeah. There's a tension between the local and global. It's real. It's always easier to stay where we are. I was reading this. It hit me. I think God just smacked me in between the eyes when I saw this the other day. I shared it with Andrew, but I don't know whether he was on my same wavelength. But Jesus told his disciples, he told his apostles, he says, when the Spirit comes upon you, you are to go to all the nations, man. You to get out. You are to share my gospel. And we find that in Acts chapter 8, there was a persecution because Stephen was the first martyr, the first apologist, really, I suppose. He was martyred, and then the church suffered persecution, probably the Hellenistic Jews, but a lot of Jews just fled. And you get this, I'm going to call it a cryptic comment, right? But it's not cryptic in a nasty sense, but... In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, when the Christians, the Jewish Christians, had fled from Jerusalem, it says this. It's very profound. All except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Now, first of all, God had to kick them out. Persecution. God had to shake the nest. Problems. But the apostles... I love it. They stayed in Jerusalem. They were comfy. They were the guys that were leading it. They were the guys that were saying, we've got to do this and whatever. Jerusalem had been evangelized. Or they was being well evangelized at this time, I would think. And they are stuck there. Who were the first ones to go? Those who were persecuted. Those who were in problems. And God is doing things around this world right now that we don't understand, and our hearts are crying when we think of the persecution in the churches, in the Christian churches in other countries, and what's happening there. But God has a purpose in all of it. You don't catch God unawares, okay? And it wasn't just the powerful or the super anointed or the super apostles that went out. They didn't go out, actually. It was those who were suffering. At Pentecost, all the nations, well, there were 10 nations there that heard the gospel. Persecution. And Peter, finally Peter, you know, the lead apostle, the big guy. God had to give him a vision. I think he had to grab him by the scruff of his neck, really, and show him that Gentiles can be reached with the gospel also. Let's not have a closed mind mentality. Let's be willing to open our hearts and our minds to what God really wants to do amongst us. So what's our part at Grace Church? It's threefold. And I'd just like to invite you, this is Victoria's phrase, I'd like to invite you just to think about these three things. First of all, are we willing to give our heart to God, really, for his service? Proverbs, we won't go into Proverbs and the mystery of Proverbs, but the author says, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes keep my ways." Isn't that amazing? That God is asking for our hearts. Now, I don't know about your heart or my heart, but my heart very often vacillates, fearful. My heart isn't a super-duper Christian heart. It has many failures. Don't ask Janet, please. Don't ask Janet. But God wants what we can't control so that he can control it and guide it and lead it to express his love for others. So let's be willing as a church. Use my heart, Lord. Use my heart. And then let's be willing to get a global vision. You receive power. I love it. I love it. You can't go without God's power, by the way. But anyway, and you will be my witnesses. That's what God's asking us to do. To catch what's on God's heart for this world. And he says it so plainly. And then, of course, you can see this visionary command. It's a commission, okay. But he wants you and me to get involved. Okay. Now, I pushed this one this morning. I think I'm repeating myself for the sixth time, but anyway. God wants to spread his glory through the earth using us. I shouldn't look at you like that, should I? I look at this guy. He's my partner here in crime. He wants us, mate. Yeah. And Lucy. And the kids. And the grandchildren. Yeah, it's amazing. We won't go any further than that, Lucy. I might frighten you. Oh, God wants us, Grace Church, to be part of this great commission to other ethnic groups, other peoples, to the ends of the earth. Does that create fear within your heart? Or does it give you, wow, God, you've got something great going on here. Opportunities for Grace Church. Here's my little diagram again, okay? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And I managed to do this. Look at this technique. I like that bit, okay? But let's compare in the beginning there what Jesus said with us as a home church here. As a home church, our Jerusalem, oh, but God's been so great, hasn't he? You know, he's allowed us as a church to send forth folks down to Falmouth. Alpha Group, I give a commercial here. You've got Alpha Group going on. You've got other ministries within the church that I did make a list of. And if I can find it here, what about food bank? Do we still give to food bank? Let's not just stop halfway with food bank, okay? Okay, it's not direct evangelism. It's E1 evangelism. It's just breaking ground evangelism. And some folks are involved in lanterns from the church here. You've actually got some chaplains here. Where are they? I'd get them to stand up, but I'd embarrass them. There's some chaplains from this little church in this little campus. Oh, no, I'm going to do this. I shouldn't do this. I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it, all right? I'm going to ask Dave and Judy to stand up. Can you do that? Just quickly. Don't take all day. Just, right? Now, I want you to look at this. Now, this is from my heart, right? This young couple are willing to be on this campus just to help students do it in a week. Now, I'm going to swing this one. Wow. They are granddads. They're not fathers. They're granddads and grandmams. Or granddad and grandma. Where are we, folks? Okay, you can sit down. I'm not going to ask for the clap because you wouldn't want that, but can you catch what God is saying here? You've got people who would be the most the person that you wouldn't normally pick, because this is young students here. They need young students to teach them and to share the gospel. And where are you? Oh, I shouldn't have done that. But I do it again. Where are you? Where are we? And I speak to myself. It's not my ministry a lot. I'm not into that right now. I'm old. No, okay, we won't go down there. But we'll all make excuses for not doing something. We got Cornwall, United Kingdom. Oh, man. We've got to get out, guys. It's a good start. It's a good start. It's a great start. We're only a baby. I'm already 10 years old. And God's allowed us to see another church come into being. It's hands-off church, but that's the way it is. Hey, but let's not stop there. Hello? Let's not stop with one church saying, oh, we've done this. Okay, we can give a report now. I don't know who you're going to report to, but you can give a report. Well, God, we have done this. We started another church in Falmouth. We sacrificed our brothers and sisters to go there. Lord, it cost us an awful lot. Yeah, it did. But that should give us more of a drive to pour out more churches. Hello, Brother Andrew. I see you there. Where's Ben? I see Ben. I see you. I can't miss you. Oh, come on. Let's keep lifting up our eyes to what God wants for us. Okay? And then you've got different ethnic groups in the United Kingdom. Do you know, I think as a church, this is for God's glory, right? This is really for God's glory. We are quite a few different nationalities, ethnic groups, peoples here this morning. Can you stand up, young lady? Okay, she's from Britain, okay, but you know, family background. We've got a lot. You can sit down, sorry. I better not do that. We have so many people from other nations amongst us. It's good if we can, as a church, catch what God is doing amongst us and saying to us. And first of all, it's this. Most of our brothers and sisters amongst us come from churches or areas where God is moving or God has done something. We, as a church, Grace Church, must learn, can learn from our brothers and sisters from abroad so that we can learn from them. We have to have a heart that's open, that's global, that isn't white man going out or black man or whatever going out. It's God going through us, and we must be willing as a church to receive from our brothers and sisters what the Holy Spirit has taught them concerning himself and the glories of God. And we as Grace Church, oh, this is fantastic. A Grace Church can help our brothers and sisters to encourage them so that if God sends them back to their own country or someone else, they can take something of what God has shown us in Grace Church out to that global world. Oh, you see, our God's a big God. He wants to show his glory, and he's given some of his glory to each one of us. He's shown us Jesus, and we can share Jesus one with another from our distinct cultural backgrounds. Let's be willing to learn from one another. Oh, please. I love this church. I mean, she gave a good commercial over in the States, man. Everybody's going to come from the States now over to Cornwall and into Truro here. But I think God was telling us something. People want to go where God is. Oh, come on, Lord. Help us to go where you want us to go, because where you want us to go, that's where you are too. Help us to learn from one another. A little commercial. They're not paying me for this, okay? A little commercial is the community groups. You know, if as church people we can come from our different cultures into a little community group, we can enrich it so much. We need one another. It's not them on us. It's together. Okay? And then let's get this world for Jesus. And I'm just going to really finish this. This is amazing. How can we do this? Well, actually, the answer is to be found in the text, taking a context into consideration. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, now blow your mind, this one. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight. What do we see here? We can do this because God's given us the Holy Spirit. He enables us. Okay, you will receive power through the Holy Spirit to help you. We need to learn to have communion with the Holy Spirit, to walk in fellowship with Him. We need to be baptized. Or I don't know what phraseology we can use in Grace Church, but we need to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, that we know that He's in us, that we know that He energizes us. I use that word with reverence. And we know that He's with us and enabling us to do His work. You can't do anything for God until you know that God is in you. Okay. We need to catch the Holy Spirit's vision here. And His vision is the world. His vision, Grace Church. His vision, you and me. And then there's the enabling through realizing who Jesus is and where He is. I mean, I'm sorry, this is so awesome. They were just standing, He was giving those final words, you know, the last words before He went from them. And as He was talking to them, He was being rose up into the heavens. It would have impacted them for life. And I wondered if we have really caught that vision of an ascended, glorified, all-conquering King Jesus. We need to see Him in His glory. Because He wants to pour His glory out on us. He wants to pour Himself into our hearts and through our hearts into this church. And He wants to overflow through us to this world. This is Jesus. This is our King. Now my question, and I believe it's God's question, is this. Are we ready? Are we willing? Will we say, yes, Jesus, I want that global vision. Yes, Jesus, I give you my hands, my heart, my feet, my will to do your will. Are we ready for that? I wonder if we could just stand just for a moment. You know, there's lots of people that do big appeals and stuff, but I just think God's doing something this morning, really. And we've asked God to do something this morning. Yeah. Just take a time, just before we sing and all that, let's just say to God what's on our heart from what we've been thinking about this morning. It's not about us, is it? It's about Jesus. It's not about what we can do or can't do. It's not about what we think we should be doing. It's about what God wants us to do. And right now, Holy Spirit, we ask that you will quicken our hearts and our minds to respond to your word this morning. Help us as a fellowship. Help us as individuals catch, see as you see, and be willing to fulfill the role that you're asking us to fulfill.
And Lord, I realize that there are many here that might just say, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too whatever. But Lord, you don't put excuses up. You didn't have an excuse. You didn't say, I can't. You came, Jesus. Help us to be willing to move out with you as a fellowship, as a community, to reach others, not only here in Cornwall, but to the ends of the earth. Help us in the development of the programming of it. Help us in the development of catching and being willing to listen to your voice at this time. Because there is a tension, Lord. We want to, and yet we don't want to, because there's a lot involved in it. But if you are with us, Lord, we can do it. So come, Jesus, we pray, in your lovely name. Amen.